This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today I'm sitting cozy next to the wood stove, and we are going to continue with our essential fiqh class, insha'Allah ta'ala. It is Sunday night, September 26, 2021. And tonight, insha'Allah, we begin a new chapter. We begin the chapter on inheritance. Okay, the chapter of inheritance. Last week, we learned about gifts, leaving a gift to someone, right? A bequest. When we leave something behind to someone who is not from amongst those who will inherit from us, right? So not the people who will inherit from us. As we mentioned last week, the people who inherit are not the ones who we can leave a gift for after we pass away. So we cannot mention in our will to give a certain item or a certain amount of our wealth to, a blood relative, for example, because that person is going to be inheriting directly from us. Okay. Today we're going to look at inheritance. We'll cover a few things, inshallah. If you have paper and pen, or something to take notes with, then that would be good, because you're probably going to want to look over this once again. Inheritance, or fara'id, is one of the confusing sort of calculations to make, and a lot of people usually ask many, many questions about it. And so if you have the ability to write something down throughout this class and the next few classes, insha'Allah ta'ala, then please do take notes. Because like I said, it's a question that always arises when someone passes away. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind, though. Sometimes people will ask to calculate the inheritance that they will leave behind while they're still alive. And this is something that I discourage myself from doing for anybody, and we don't really encourage anyone to do. The reason is none of us knows when we will pass away, and none of us knows who may pass away with us at the same time, or who may pass away before us. So if a person puts their will together today and says, I'm going to indicate what to do with my wealth from today, a person who they may add to their will may pass away tomorrow. Or they may be, for example, sometimes it happens where, multiple people pass away at the same time from the same household or the same family, I should say. And so the question is, why try to calculate it right now when we can do that later? Okay. So here we go. The new chapter that we're starting is a chapter of inheritance. So first off, the Arabic word for inheritance is fara'id. Okay, fara'id with a bad. The plural of fara'id is fariḍa. Okay, fariḍa, which comes from a word implying specific or determined amount. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 237 of Surah Al-Baqarah, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَدْتُمْ. فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَدْتُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this word, فَرَائِدْ فَرِيضَ. فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَدْتُمْ. Then pay half of what you specified. Okay. Islamically, in the Sharia, it refers to the word فَرِيضَ, refers to the determined proportion that an inheritor receives. So the specific amount that a person will receive. For example, a third, an eighth, half, 1/16, 1/32, right? And so on. Before we get into who can inherit, let's look at some of the warnings that we find within our deen. So a warning concerning misappropriating estates. So prior to Islam, the Arabs of the time, what they would do is only the men would inherit. Okay, so only the men would be the people that would inherit from people that pass away. And women were not entitled to inheritance. This was prior to Islam. So Islam included women in inheritance and removed the oppression that was upon them prior to Islam. And so, alhamdulillah, this is something that, you know, we have to raise and bring up and remind ourselves and others about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this deen in a way that is perfect for us as human beings. And He knows what's best for us because He created us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed women to inherit as well. Prior to Islam, as we mentioned, the Arabs, they would not allow their women to inherit anything. Only the men would inherit. Furthermore, only older children would inherit and not the younger ones. Islam then came and gave each its due right. This right is termed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, as He says, وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a commandment from Allah, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 12. وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in verse number 11 of Surah An-Nisa, فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. First he says, in verse 12, right, he says, وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. In verse 11, he says, فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ, ordained by Allah. Okay? So after using these terms, there then comes a very strong and emphasized warning concerning any kind of violation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, right? The rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has placed upon us as human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 13 and 14, after saying, فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 13 and 14, تلك حدود الله ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك الفوز العظيم ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تلك حدود الله. These are the limits that are set by Allah. These are the limits that are set by Allah. So we can't transgress, we can't go against them, we can't challenge them. They are the limits that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits set by Allah. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted into, or admitted to, gardens under which rivers flow in paradise, to abide therein, and that will be the great success. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses His limits, He will cast him into the fire to abide therein, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. So what is inherited from the wealth of the deceased? What is inherited from the wealth of the deceased? Okay. What do you think can be inherited? Well, when a person dies, okay, the first thing that we do with their wealth is that we use their wealth in order to pay for their kafan, their shroud, and for the burial. Okay, so the shroud, the kafan, the burial, the basically everything to do with the janazah, we take from the wealth of the person who passed away. A lot of the time, family members are like, okay, I have to pay for it, you pay for it. Brothers and sisters get together, children get together and pay for their parents. But really what we do is we take from the wealth of the person who passed away, and we use that to purchase their kafan, the shroud. We use that to purchase the plot. We use that for transportation fees of the deceased from whether the hospital to the masjid to do the ghusl, and then from the masjid to the cemetery, right? Qabristan, right? Right? Or the maqbara, right? To bury the deceased. So whatever expenses come in the way of this person being buried is taken from the wealth of the person who passed away. So that's removed, okay? After that, any debt that that person has, we take from their wealth as well, okay? So you take from their wealth and you pay off the debts. If there's anything left after that, then any bequests that the person has left behind or mentioned in their will, right, stated or, you know, indicated that something should be given to someone, then those bequests are then taken from the wealth as well. And then whatever is left from that is distributed, calculated, and then distributed amongst those who will inherit from that person who passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, we learned about this last week, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْدَيْنَ. After the payment of legacies, right, he may have bequeathed or debt, right, or any debts. But the debts are to be paid off before any bequest. Remember the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, where he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to settle the debts before fulfilling the bequests. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to settle the debt before fulfilling the bequests. Okay. We learned this last week. So if anyone missed last week's class about bequests, please go back and watch it, and you'll be able to understand more what we are referring to and talking about. So what are some of the causes entitling one to be an heir? Okay. These causes can be broken up into three categories. First of all, you could inherit if you have some sort of blood relationship to the person who passed away. So if the person who passed away is a relative, a blood relationship is there between you and that person, then you may be entitled to inheriting from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضُ. And blood relations among each other have closer personal ties in the decree of Allah regarding inheritance. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second category of someone, you know, possibly falling under or into allowing them to inherit from someone is al-wala'a. What is al-wala'a? This is basically if someone, it's really the inheritance that comes between the slave and the master, okay? The slave and the master. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-wala'a is kinship like the kinship of blood, okay? And a common example of this type of special relationship is that which exists, like I mentioned, between the slave and the master, okay? And again, this is, sorry, not the slave and the master, but the freed slave and the master. Okay, the freed slave and the master. And we use the word master because it's understood. I don't really like using that term, but that's a term that's used. So the freed slave and the master. And the third category is marriage. Okay, marriage, like husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. In that which your wives leave, your share is half. Okay, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. So those are the three categories which may entitle a person to some sort of inheritance from someone who passed away. Okay, you were the freed slave between the previous master, or the relationship through marriage, husband and wife, spouses, or a blood relationship, okay? Siblings, parents, children, cousins, uncles, aunt, you know, relatives, grandparents, and so on and so forth. All right, so what are some of the factors preventing someone from inheriting? What are some of the factors preventing someone from inheriting? Just give me a second. I'm going to drink something here. So first off, murder. Okay, murder. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the murderer does not inherit, specifically referring to the murderer of the deceased person. So the person who passed away, if they were murdered by someone and that person is a relative of theirs or someone who is in line to inherit from them, then that person is immediately cut off. Now, this is the wisdom of Islam, to protect those who may have wealth from the jealousy, the greed, you know, the envy that people have between them as relatives, as family members, okay? And I know we probably think, oh, you know, why would anyone do that? But I can give you examples of cases of people who I personally know who were murdered because of inheritance, because they knew they were going to inherit. And I mean, again, it's, you know, saying something about someone whose, you know, history or whose past was not nice, but it is something that does happen. I've heard of cases, and we know a very close family friend who, subhanAllah, this happened to when I was younger, someone who was very close to us, who, you know, lived in another country, and his relative, you know, ended up doing what he did, you know, with intention of being able to somehow get away with it and inherit. So that's an example of when, or one of the factors that prevents someone from inheriting. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the murderer of the deceased person does not inherit, okay? The second category is being of a different religion. Being of a different religion. So Usama ibn Zayd narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslim does not inherit from the disbeliever, nor does the disbeliever inherit from the Muslim. I'll say that again. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Muslim does not inherit from the disbeliever, nor does the disbeliever inherit from the Muslim, from a Muslim. Now, some people may question, oh, is this an authentic hadith? Because, you know, their inheritance might be jeopardized now, right? Well, this hadith is recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam ibn Majah, as well as Imam Abu Dawud. And so, Bukhari, Muslim, authentic narrations right there. We don't even need to question it, alhamdulillah, because the grading has been done and reviewed by the scholars. And also, al-Tirmidhi, ibn Majah, and Abu Dawud, rahimahumullah. Let's go over the hadith again. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslim does not inherit from a disbeliever, nor does the disbeliever inherit from a Muslim. Number three, from the people who do not inherit, or factors that prevent someone from inheriting, slavery. Okay, the third and last factor is slavery. The slave and everything that he or she possesses actually belongs to the master. And so, because of that, if he or she were to inherit from a relative, so if the slave was to inherit something from a relative, then that inheritance would go to the master and not to the slave. Okay? But remember, when we think of slavery in Islam, we're like, okay, wait a second, you know, that's not fair. The slavery at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is very different than the slavery that we think of in our minds. And I've spoken about this before, and I'll remind ourselves once again. Usually when we think of slavery, we think of first off, we start to think racial, okay? Because in our North American history, we see that this was like, you know, something that was done. Slavery based on race, based on color. During the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and in fact, this goes back even centuries prior to that. Remember, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was captured and brought to Egypt and sold on the slave market and, you know, served as a slave. So the slavery of Islam, or within Islam, when we think of slavery, when we talk about slavery, is not the slavery we think of. The rights of the slave, or the servant, I'd like to say, at home, is that they eat from the food that you eat, and you clothe them from the clothing that you wear. So if you wear Giorgio Armani, then your servant or slave wears Giorgio Armani. If you have a $5,000 watch, then you clothe your servant with the $5,000 watch as well, right? As in, the quality of lifestyle and standard of that person who lives in your home and helps you is as though they are someone from your family and you take care of them. You do not feed them a different type of food that is lesser in quality and quantity. You feed them from the food that you eat as well. You cook a pot of biryani, right? Or a dish of biryani, they eat from it with you. Okay? You have comforts and luxuries, they also are to be treated with those comforts and luxuries. So Islam brought about, you know, a way of looking after others, of taking care of others. Now remember as well, Islam encourages Muslims to free slaves. And so at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you know, people who hate on Islam or hate Islam, they will say, oh, Muslims, you know, have slaves and, you know, they capture people and take them as slaves. No. A Muslim is one who is encouraged to go about finding people who are slaves and freeing them. And we see that in the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Every single Friday, he would go and free a slave. And if he didn't have the wealth to free a slave on any particular Friday, he would keep track of how many Fridays he missed. And when he had enough wealth, he would make up for the Fridays that he missed. That was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They used to love others and love for others. Right? Bilal radiallahu anhu. Look at the honor and the status that he is given in Islam. His footsteps are heard in paradise. Right? Not because he was a slave in Islam. He was freed by a Muslim. Right? And he was a Muslim himself, a believer himself. And so we are encouraged as Muslims to free the slave and not to take advantage of the slave or the servant. Okay, the last thing that we'll look at, inshallah, is 10 categories, or I shouldn't say categories, but 10 people who inherit. We will start by looking at the men who inherit, okay, or males who inherit. And next week we will begin with females who inherit, and there are 9 categories of females who inherit, okay? But we'll start this week with the categories of males who inherit. First of all, category 1 and 2, the son and his son, and so on, no matter how distant. So a person's son, and if they have another son, if that person has a son, so if the son has a son, and the son's son has a son, and the son's son who has a son, right? As in, if it keeps going, then they also will inherit, okay? So a son, a grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson, and so on, okay? So that's how it goes. So the first two categories are a son and the son's son and any children, any sons that come from that. Okay. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 11, يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Allah commands you with regards to your children's inheritance, to the male, a portion equal to that of two females. Number 3 and 4 is the father and his fathers. Now people will say, well, what about the women? We are listing the 10 categories of males that inherit. Next Sunday, we begin with the 9 categories of females who inherit, okay? So don't be like, oh, it's only men. No, it isn't only men. We're just putting all the men together in one group, and then we're looking at all the females together, all the males in one group and all the females in another group, okay? So from the males who inherit is the son, the grandson, and so on. Number 3 and 4, the father and his fathers. So a father, a grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and so on, okay? No matter how distant it goes, no matter how many great-great-great-great-grandfathers there are that are alive, remember, that are alive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to have to stick some more fire, wood on there, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 11, once again, of Surah An-Nisa. وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسِ. For parents, a sixth share of inheritance to each. And this is again referring to, it says, أَبَوَيْهِ, parents, but now we're just listing the fathers and the grandfathers. So number 3 and number 4 is the father and the grandfather, and so on. The grandfather is considered a father. Okay, so if someone's father passed away and the grandfather is still alive, then the grandfather is considered a father. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana ibnu Abdul Muttalib." I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Okay, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Who was he? He was his grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather, right? Number 5 and number 6, the brother and his sons, even if distant. So the brother and his sons, even if distant. Who is the brother? So for example, someone's brother. And the nephews that comes from those brothers. So if you have a brother who has sons, so your nephews, they are also possibly entitled to inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, give the inheritance to its rightful recipients. Whatever remains is to be given to the closest male relative. Okay. Number 9. From amongst the males who inherit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, number 9 is the husband, right? The husband, totally forgot to mention the husband. So number 9 is the husband, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 12, وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in that which your wives leave, your share is a half. Your share is a half. So the husband is entitled to inheritance. And number 10, from amongst the males who inherit, the male who has freed a slave. And we discussed this just a few minutes ago. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the wala'a is for the one who did the freeing. So the person who freed the servant or slave is entitled to inheritance. Okay. So those are the 10 categories of males. If you want to look, you know what? We'll go through the nine categories. How many of you want to go through the nine categories of females? Let me know. If you want to go through the nine categories of females, just let me know very quickly in the chat or comments, and we'll go through them, inshallah ta'ala. If you want to stop here, then we'll stop. How many of you want to know the females who inherit? Only one of you. Let's see. Anybody here say anything? Let me just try to get my phone out. Anyone else? Anyone want to know the females who inherit? No? We could leave it for next week. You know what? We'll go through it very quickly and then we'll go over them again next week. Okay. So the females who inherit. The categories of females who inherit are nine in number, as I mentioned. First and second is the daughter and the daughter of the son, no matter how far down. So the daughter and the daughter of the son. Okay, the niece, the daughter of the son, sorry, the granddaughter. Okay, the granddaughter. So the daughter and the granddaughter and the great-granddaughter of the sons. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 11, يُصِيكُمْ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ يُصِيكُمْ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ Okay? Allah commands you with regards to your children's inheritance to the male, a portion equal to that of two females. Number three and number four. The mother and the grandmother. Okay? The mother and the grandmother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ Okay? For parents, a sixth share of inheritance to each. Number five, the sister.
إِنِ امْرُؤٌ هَلَكَ لَيْسَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَلَهُ أُخْتٌ فَلَهَا نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكُ
Surah An-Nisa, verse number 176. The sister. If it is a man that dies, leaving a sister but no child, she shall have half the inheritance. Number six, the wife, right? We spoke about the husband. We're talking about the males. Now, the wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ
Verse number 12 of Surah An-Nisa. In that which you leave, their your wives' share is a fourth. Okay, their share from amongst your wives is one fourth, a quarter. Number seven, the woman who has freed a slave. So if a woman freed a slave, again, the Prophet ﷺ said, the wala'a is for the one who did the freeing. So if a woman freed a slave, she's entitled to inheritance. And we'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? We'll stop there. And we'll continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? So that is all that we're taking for today. We will continue our class next Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. I know that there's going to be a lot of questions that come up from this chapter, but please keep in mind. Give me a second. Got to keep it going. Needs oxygen. So keep in mind that we will cover a little bit more of the chapter and some of the, you know, rules and conditions and things to do with inheritance. And then it'll make a little more sense to us. Okay. Because we're going to start looking at some math equations as well, right? We mentioned a third, a quarter, a half, you know, sons, daughters, daughters from the son, right? Granddaughters, grandparents, grandfather, great-grandfather, mother, and so on and so forth. So it might be a little bit confusing, but just bear with us, inshallah ta'ala. Take it step by step. Don't overcomplicate things. And you'll be able to understand it very soon, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. I'll see all of you next week for the class. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم جزاكم الله خيرا for attending والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.